Well, our time is limited today a little bit in his word, but I want to turn you back to the book of Titus, and we'll have to abbreviate a little bit, but I wanted to be able to move forward, and I think here is a text that we can move forward as we look next week. It's found in the book of Titus, and we're transitioning in many ways from chapter 1, and I bring you into chapter 2, and maybe if I could just read the opening two verses. There, Paul is instructing Titus, whom he called his son in the faith, who was left in Crete, dropped in, I like to say, behind enemy lines so that there could be a healthy church, and he was to appoint elders. But I draw you to just verse 1 and 2. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. May God bless the reading of his word, particular for our time. It's just verse 1. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Tim Challies has written a number of things on his blog, but one of them that he wrote on was titled Deadly Doctrine. And here's what he said about deadly doctrine. He said, for decades, Christians have focused on felt needs rather than doctrinal truth. We have focused on applicable topical sermons rather than verse-by-verse exposition that unleashes the whole truth of God's word. We have ceased, he said, catechizing our children, building within them a solid, systematic foundation for their faith. We have emphasized, this is the line that caught me, Christianity as a relationship with God at the expense of an established body of truth. And I think that's fair, obviously. Knowing Christ is a relationship that we have with Christ, that we have with God the Father. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives within you. But I think it stands in a subjective sense that we have, he said, emphasized Christianity as a relationship with God at the expense of an established body of truth. We have focused on feelings rather than the facts. We have attempted to make Christianity palatable by making it simplistic. End of quote. And I just think there's truth to that, and I agree. I think the watchword of the day is be simplistic, or dumb it down, or water it down, or cater to people, when really we've been given a body of truth. So I'm taking you from chapter 1 into chapter 2 today. And if I could give you just a broad picture, you might remember months ago as we started that in chapter 1, we were calling all of Titus a blueprint for the local church. And then in chapter 1, we called it a blueprint for the conduct of leaders. And we addressed that in the past weeks. But as we come to chapter 2, it's a blueprint for the conduct of its members. So he's going to take us, they'll have a little transition here as we go into two, but for the most part, he's going to give you your conduct and a blueprint for what's expected out of you as the members of his body. And today we come to the importance of sound doctrine. He mentions that in 2:1, sound doctrine. And so he's going to pivot, if you will, from the elder's duty to the practical implications of holy living and what's expected of generational believers and generational groups. He lists 5 of them in chapter 2. He's going to address older men. We'll start with that next week, and I'm not going to go fast because there's so much in here. He addresses older men and what your responsibility is, and you do have one. And then he's going to address older women and address in verses 3 and 4 what your role is. I mean, it's pretty clear. He's going to do that. And then he's going to address younger women, namely that you older women have on you by God, in the Word of God, you are responsible to help and train the younger women in a sevenfold category. And we'll go through that. Then he addresses young men in chapter 2, verse 6, which is kind of funny because he gives younger women, here's a sevenfold duty that an older woman is to train a younger woman. And then he comes to the young men, and you can see it in 2:6 there, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. It's the only thing that he says to them. In other words, if you can get that, you'll be on your way to becoming a mature man. And then finally, he will address the whole aspect of an employee's responsibility. It's worded there in the aspect of slaves. But here's 5 different groups. But before Paul addresses various age groups, he exhorts, and we just can't skip this, he exhorts Titus very personally, and then he just exhorts the elders one more time as to ensure that the church is captured, you, by your responsibility in the grace of God to lead a holy life, okay? That's our movement here. Now, let me focus our time just by directing you to 2 truths on the duty and the benefit of sound doctrine in verse 1. This sound doctrine is going to lead to holiness. You always see he's going to teach, and then there's going to be a response to it. But number 1, sound doctrine is to be taught by the elders. Sound doctrine is to be taught by the elders. Now, you're going to put your eyes on verse 1, but as for you, stop there just for a second. He's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And before he gets to those generational responsibilities, it's Paul, the older man in the faith, near the end of his life, within just months. The last book he'll write is 2 Timothy. But he's writing here to Titus, and he says, but as for you. And he's making a contrast here in the text with the false teachers. Look back to 1:16. Remember, this wasn't marked by verses and chapters. It was a letter that he wrote, and it would read something like this. They, the false teachers, profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. And then he comes back and says, but as for you, but as for you, those false teachers that we looked at in chapter 1 make a false profession. They make a false claim. It says the God that they claim to know. So those were religious false teachers. He says, though they proclaim to know God, or even the word is confess God, he says there in 16, they're detestable, they're disobedient, they're disqualified. That was our last message, and they're unfit for any good work. So the false teachers clearly spelled out are tested, rejected, disqualified, and the ideal of disqualified is the ideal of twisted. And then he comes right back and he says, can you imagine it? But as for you, Titus, and it's what we call the emphatic you. And so really, just as we drop into this, he's speaking to the 16 elders that are overseeing our church. As for you. In other words, this has been laid down by Paul to Titus, to the elders, to all elder groups that follow in this chain. If you will, go back just a few pages I want to show you this. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this is all over the scripture, this emphatic you, but I'll show you just a few. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." And now verse 11, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." He's there exhorting Timothy, but in that emphatic you, "But as for you," he's reminding him. You say, "Well, Scott, why is he reminding him?" Because the pastors and the elders need to be reminded. I don't think he's just throwing that in there. He says, here's false teachers, here's guys who have left me, but Timothy, as for you, you follow, you know, verse 11. You follow my teaching, my conduct, etc. If you will, would you look at 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy, where he's talking in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 15, "You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." What does that mean? They bailed on him. They bailed on Paul. They turned away from Paul, as you can see it there. They left him. Now, if you will, go over to chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 1. "You then, the emphatic you, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And I think he's telling Timothy, because you say, why? I think Timothy needed it. He's a young man. We presume that he's probably in his late 30s, early 40s. He said in an earlier place, "Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of my chains." And he comes right back, and whether it's Titus or Timothy, and he says, "You, my son," he says, "be strengthened," and so forth. If you will, look at chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verse 10, if you will. Actually, you can go back to 2 Timothy 3:9, "But they will not get very far, for their folly," again, the false teachers, "will be plain to all, as was with these two men," and those two men are listed in verse 8, Jannes and Jambres. They opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. And then drop down to 2 Timothy 3:10. "You, however, you followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness." So you say, what do we have here? It's that second person you. If you will, look down at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 4, actually go to verse 13, "While evil people," 2 Timothy 3:13, "and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Verse 14, "But as for you," this is that second person. And so I would say to you as a congregation, pray for our elder team. Pray at least with those 20 men that are in process with us at the Master Seminary. But this is an emphatic word from Paul, both to Timothy and now to Titus, that you need to follow forward. And you say, well, what was he to do? Look back to 2:1. You can see it there. "But as for you," and then he told him to teach. To teach. It's different than the word preaching. It actually, in some translations you might hold, is laleo in the Greek, which means to speak. But it has the force here in the context of teaching. And when he tells them there in 2:1, look at it, you might not see it there, but it says teach, and he's put that in the present command. And so he's telling Titus, as here are your marching orders, you, Titus, need to teach, okay? You elders are commanded to consistently teach. This is an elder's work, Titus was to teach. The elders were to teach. This is their mandate. They are not managers. They are not, you know, outside operators. They are not only accountants, though we have accountants here that handle the money. But listen, their priority is to teach. Now, I say that, and I know that many of you grew up in the church where that's not the case. They're just figures. Some of them aren't even qualified in Titus chapter 1. Sometimes they're just appointed. Sometimes churches don't even call them elders. But I've spent time to say that church polity in the New Testament was elders. And you can see that in verse 5 where he said, appoint elders in every town as I directed. You say, what do? They teach. Now, I'll just draw you back. Look at verse 9 of chapter 1. Just remember, he tells the elders who are qualified in their skill set here, he, speaking of an elder, must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. Look at it. That he may be able, here's the word, to give instruction in sound doctrine. This is what an elder does. He gives instruction in sound doctrine. And I hit it on 1:9. You can listen to that off the website in our app. It says there, he is holding fast to the trustworthy word. And then it uses this, as taught. This is apostolic doctrine. This is New Testament doctrine. Pastors today don't have words from the Lord. They don't have visions. They don't see, you know, dream dreams. Elders are taking the word of God and giving it to the people of God. So Paul says to Titus, as for you, you are to teach. I think it comes up on the screen. Paul reminded Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13. He says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of the scripture, which is why Jack read today. We read every Sunday. Just read the scripture. I think I've told you that. Somebody said the purest form that takes place in every worship service is really just in principle one thing. It's when we read the scripture because it's pure, it's clean, it's without fault. But he said, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, and to, there it is, to teaching. He's telling Timothy, this is what an elder does. And so Titus, look back now in 2:1. It's interesting, was to teach, look at the phrase, what accords, he said there, with sound doctrine. What does that mean? What accords? It means what is fitting, what is right, what is suitable, what is proper. And really, he's addressing here not just the didactic teaching, which certainly is there, but he's giving this with what accords with sound doctrine. And what accords with sound doctrine has to do with our daily life. That is, he says, what is proper to sound doctrine. Do you see that there in 2:1? There's sound doctrine. Let me just break that up just for a second. Sound, I think I've told you in the weeks past, is just literally the word healthy. Healthy. In fact, you might have a footnote in the apparatus of the language that would draw you to a point. Some people just translate this word as healthy. Hygieno is the word. And obviously we derive our English word hygiene from it. But that Greek word profoundly means healthy. In other words, Titus, I'm telling you to teach, if you will, healthy doctrine. It's the opposite of sick doctrine. Healthy doctrine is free from contamination. It's pure. It's clean. It's healthy. Now, this word has been used before. Let me show you in 1:9. Remember? He said, you hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction. Here it is. In healthy doctrine or in sound doctrine. Look next week as we look at the older man in chapter 2, verse 2. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled. And then he says, there it is, sound in faith. So he said an older man needs to be solid. An older man needs to be trusted. An older man needs to be dignified. An older man needs to be right there, sound or healthy in his faith. He needs to finish well. So invite somebody next week as we dive into that. And then you'll notice even to Titus, look at chapter 2 in verse 8, where he says actually in 7, show yourself in all respects to be a model, speaking to Titus, of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, now verse 8, and sound speech which cannot be condemned. In other words, to Titus, you need to be sound in speech. Your speech needs to be healthy. I don't need to go into the profanity-laced preachers that you can hear today that justify their foul use of language, thinking it's okay. No, here it needs to be healthy, sound in faith is what Paul tells Titus right there. And in fact, you can see in verse 8 that it says, so that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Just a footnote. I've been around people in our community here who think not even twice about cussing. And they are believers, I think. I'm not even so much talking about men in our church. But this has almost become a norm that words don't matter. And I'm like, words do matter. And he told Titus that your speech needs to be sound. That's enough. But this is the thought here. This teaching is sound. Look back at Titus 1:10. He said, for there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. So you got false teachers teaching what they ought not to teach for the sake of, you know, greedy gain, and they shouldn't be teaching, is Paul's thought there. Verse 11 of chapter 1, they need to be silenced. Why? Because they're upsetting whole families. Why? By teaching for, there it is, I read that, shameful gain. He says to Titus, you need to teach. But you don't just need to teach anything. You don't need to teach your own thoughts. You need to teach healthy doctrine. Now, he'll say there, he's going to say what sound doctrine is, but you say, why is this so important for us? Because unhealthy doctrine leads to unhealthy lifestyles. Okay? In other words, if what's coming out of the teachers in children's ministry is not sound doctrine, then it's going to lead to a practice in many cases the way people look at their life as they're to be lived out. So look at Titus 1:13. He is talking about the testimony of the Cretans. Therefore, rebuke them sharply. Here it is again, that they may be sound in faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commandments of people who turn away from the truth. They're turning away from the truth of God's word. Now, for a moment, look back at chapter 2:1. He says there, teach what accords with sound, that's healthy. And then it's very clear, it's revealed here in the Word of God. It says, teach what accords with sound. And then he uses the phrase, doctrine. And the question would come, what is sound doctrine? What does that mean? And we're asking not what I think, what does the Word mean? Let me just say it to you, and I could be rather simplistic here in the right way. Sound doctrine is simply but profoundly the teaching of the Word of God. Sound doctrine is what the scriptures teach. The reason I'm taking you through this line by line, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, that is sound doctrine. It's what scripture teaches. Now, I can give you a comparative there and here. The Bible speaks in Mark 7 of the teachings of men, legalism. The Bible speaks in 1 Timothy 4:1 of the doctrine of demons or the teaching of demons. But here, sound doctrine is found here because it's the teaching that comes from God. It's the teaching that Christ gave us, that the Spirit illuminates for us. It is the teaching about faith. It is the teaching about grace. I could say so much more, but sound doctrine is the whole counsel of God. That's what it is. You write that down, you get it. It is the whole counsel of God. That's why we teach at every single platform here at the church. I don't mean to say, look what we're doing by doing that. I'm just telling you, we don't have another gimmick here. There's not another power here. And if you're a pastor in training, Paul is telling Titus, who got dropped in behind enemy lines, as for you, Titus, the one that I led to the Lord, you hold firm to the trustworthy word. As for you, Titus, though false teachers are moving this way, I want you to teach what accords with sound doctrine, which is the teaching of Scripture. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:3, he left him or wanted him to remain in Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach. It says there, any different doctrine. Any different doctrine. So what is doctrine? It comes out of the Word of God. Would you look back in 1 Timothy just for a moment? 1 Timothy 4, and you'll see that second person again addressed here to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4 in verse 6, and he's writing to Timothy. He says, if you, there it is again, put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained, I like this, in the words of the faith and of the, he calls it, good doctrine that you have followed. And so, Timothy, you're going to be a pastor of God's word. And you, to do that, you're trained in the Word of God. Sound doctrine comes from the teaching of Scripture. And he reminds them there, you're being trained in the words of the faith and of good doctrine. And I like the end of verse 6. Do you see it, 4:6? That you have followed. In other words, this is apostolic doctrine that came from the apostles and the prophets under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Listen, this is pastoral work. You may be new here, and we're coming into baptisms today. You may be visiting. We're so glad you're here, but this is what we do. Why, Scott? Because sound doctrine leads to holy living. I suppose people can disobey with what they know, but we want to make sure that what's coming out of our platforms is sound. And here, it's the word of faith. It's the scripture. Look over at 2 Timothy, will you, just for a moment? In 2 Timothy in 1:13, and again, you understand we're in a pastoral epistle. This is part of the literature. He's writing to Timothy and Titus, respectively, in these pastoral epistles, which in your Bible, they go, I think it's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, then Titus, but Titus is almost in between because 2 Timothy was his last book. But watch what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:13. He said, follow the pattern of the sound words. And you understand how Paul means this, that you have heard from me. So listen, let me make an application here because it's going to get a little bit, as we get into the role of a younger woman, okay, And what is the role of a godly woman to a younger woman? The Bible's very specific. And I would tell you, it is completely counterculture to everything that the Bible says what a young woman should be. But I guess I'm just going to tell you, you come those weeks for an older woman and a younger woman, but I'm just going to teach the Word of God. You say, why? Because it's in the text. And so he says there to follow in verse 13, the pattern of sound words that you've heard from me in the faith and in the love which are in Christ Jesus. Now, obviously, he is, if you look over at 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 15, he says, do your best to Timothy, speaking directly to him, you've seen this before, to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed. And what is he teaching? Rightly handling the word of truth. There it is. But avoid, he says in verse 16, irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And then he says in 17, and their talk will spread like gangrene. It would be false teaching as like a flesh-eating virus. It's like eating, if you will, or becoming contracted with E. coli. I tried to look up E. coli, and it was displayed in a number of words that were so big. But we understand if you get E. coli, and that virus bacteria works in you, that is very dangerous. He said false teaching is like this. What your kids hear at private school, Christian school, public school, you make sure you're standing by them, because he says here the pastor needs to handle the word of truth, because if the false teachers get inside of us, their teaching's going to be like gangrene. Sound teaching, beloved, I'll say this, is healthy because its source is God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God. It's the very breath of God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so elders handle the word of God. In fact, last verse, and we'll close in prayer. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, you know this one. For the time will come when people will not endure, here it is, sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Beloved, that includes podcasts. There's a bunch of stuff. You don't have to hear just false teaching in false churches. You can just turn on a podcast, and somehow the podcast has more authority than a preacher standing in the pulpit who's studied for 25 to 30 hours in a message. Some podcasts are super healthy. Yes. Okay. I think a guy on Dial In, he has my same last name. I would encourage you on that one, but some of them are just talking heads saying nothing. There's been a few people from our church, one I'm thinking, who was right with us, who was ready to become a member, and then he started to listen to YouTube and stuff on man's purpose in securing his salvation through the decision that he or she makes, which we would say is against the scripture that says that God is sovereign. Some of that stuff's going to mess you up. And so here, Paul says to Titus, and certainly by implication to the elders, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. I didn't get to my second point. If you're a perfectionist, I'll get to that in the weeks to come. But listen, what we're doing matters. Listen, thanks for being here today. We want to help you. You say, well, Scott, that's a little strong. Well, yes, it is. It is a little strong, but I want to remind you, I open my Bible back. There's one last verse in 2 Timothy 2:15 where Paul will tell Titus, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one disregard you. I think we need boldness, not out of our own strength, but certainly with what the Word of God teaches. So we just want to say, we love you, okay? And I would even say this is why we have a doctrinal statement here, okay? It synthesizes, if you will, the whole counsel of God on the various doctrines and how we're going to teach, because we think it matters. And we're so glad that you're here, and we're so glad that we have the privilege to shepherd you, and I and our elder team want to be extremely faithful to that call.